fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our guest this week, John Kazanjian. John is a good friend. He's a member of my parish that I'm a part of here in Ann Arbor called Christ the King. He's a local businessman, a father, a grandfather, just a wonderful guy. And it has been for me a kind of example of someone who's really responded to what the Spirit is saying to the church, or what the recent popes have spoken about so often, that is exhorting all the baptized, every single baptized person, to come and realize that each one of us has personally been called by Christ to engage the Lord's mission in the world. And that takes on many different forms. We're all different people, but we've all been called and gifted by the Lord to be able to engage it. And I've just been inspired over the years watching how John first began to engage it, but just grew in it year after year after year. And so I've asked him to come in and share a little bit more of his story. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Peter.
You know, yesterday we talked a little bit about how you came to a point as a very young man of realizing you need to make a decision about whether you were really going to get serious about following the Lord and give him permission to lead your life and to kind of put him at the center of your life, which a lot of times people overlook, like, yeah, it's simple, no big deal, but that's really decisive. I mean, it's a decision, and it's meant to be, Jesus is asking, are you ready to seek me first? Because if you're in and you really want me with all your heart, we're going to go places.
Right.
But if you're not really there, I can't do much
right.
with your life. You know, if you don't give me permission to lead you. So that process of becoming a disciple is something that I really saw unfold in your life. And how did you see it? How did you experience it?
As you said, first of all, there's got to be a moment, I think, every time you talk to somebody, there's a moment that they can point back to that says everything changed that day.
Yeah.
And I know it. But the process, once that decision is made, has to be communal.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something that you have people that can really show you what it means. You've been one of those people in my life. Ralph has. There have been many people in my life who have come along, and you look at them and you'd say, that person can really help me along the journey. And I knew that right away, because even though I came to know the Lord, like I said, in New York, this guy who grew up in Boston and now lived in California, all of a sudden Ann Arbor, Michigan came on the map for me because of the guy that evangelized me. And he was inviting me to come back here to live, at least for a while. And I took a year to pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the Lord was alive, and I knew he would speak to me about what I should do. And I had a lot of different opportunities. I could spend a lot of time talking about them, but the main thing that happened that first year was just growing in prayer.
Yeah.
Growing in a sense that I know the Lord will speak to me. Even, Peter, to one point, the Armenian bishop called me to his office, and he heard about my conversion, and he really had his eye on me, and he brought me in, and he said, what do you want? I will open everything, every opportunity up to you. I don't want you to leave California. And I was able to look at the bishop in that meeting and say to him, Your Eminence, I love you. I love the church. I love California. I love my school. I even have a really good girlfriend here. But Jesus is number one in my life. I know he speaks to me, and I'm going to follow him. So being able to hear his voice and being able to kind of know and believe that he'll speak to me was really key during that first year.
Yeah. Two things. One, you mentioned it's important for everybody to have that point in their life where they feel like everything changed at that moment. Now, for some people, it's a deeply experiential thing in the moment. And a lot of change does happen because of the nature of the experience that they've had with the Lord. For other people, not a lot happens initially. But the point you're making, I think, is that when you make that decision, you're making a decision to put Jesus at the center of your life, not just as a part of your life. You're saying, like
exactly.
St. Paul said, it's a faith
good
decision,
distinction.
Right? So like Paul says, the life I live now, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So you're saying, I'm choosing to say yes to his invitation, and that's by God's grace an act of faith. So I'm deciding, yes, I want in. Doesn't mean we're not struggling with sin, doesn't mean we're not have one step forward, two steps back, but something decisive happens, and then it begins to change your whole outlook on life gradually, right? Over time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And you're beginning to pray.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big key for me. I started reading my Bible.
Yeah.
And I started to pray regularly.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I don't think a day has gone by in which I haven't said at least the Lord's Prayer since that day.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's a long time ago. I was 19. Prayer became a part of my life because I knew God was there. I knew he was aware. I knew he wasn't just distant. He knew me personally, and he had an interest in me. And one of the things that became really obvious during that year to me as I was praying was I needed people around me. I found people at that time. I got involved with InterVarsity on the campus of Santa Barbara. I started going to retreats. I started going to church every weekend and serving at the altar. I mean, I started to try and fill my life with people who I knew could lead me, could guide me, could teach me, and have an influence on me. And in the meantime, John, this guy that evangelized me, kept calling me, praying with me, encouraging me, and inviting me to come out here. And then a number of things happened. I don't want to go into the whole story, but very clear, distinct things. I ended up coming out here and living next door to you. You had just moved here a few months before. God brought our lives together. And really, all of a sudden, I had a lot of really good mentors around me. I'll never forget, I think it was the first or second week I was here. We were living in a household of guys. We would get up together in the morning and pray down in the basement of the house. And I remember standing at the top of the stairs one of those early weeks and going down to pray and thinking to myself, am I really going to do this every day for the rest of my life? Am I going to make prayer part of my life every single day? Mm-hmm. It was such a decisive moment. And I walked down the stairs again. I can remember that day like it was today.
Yeah, we had a bunch of college guys living right near University of Michigan campus. We were part of an organization called University Christian Outreach, which was just reaching in and trying to evangelize students and grow in faith. And the growing in prayer, the disciple, Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek second, seek third. Jesus said seek first. And what we begin to discover when we get serious about it, and Jesus moves from the periphery to our life, he said, look, I want to be in a relationship with you. And prayer is a conversation with God. And it's a turn. You made a decision and you turn to say, I want to get serious about this relationship with the Lord. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I want to learn how to pray. And that's the natural step, the spiritual step, the right step that happens. You can tell if you're getting serious about being a follower of Jesus in his churches if you're beginning to pray and taking that seriously, because it's a conversation with him, it's following him, and that you had what began to grow in you was a hunger and a thirst, mm-hmm. and you began to seek. And Jesus made it so clear, if you seek, you will find. Right. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. And I think a lot of guys sometimes can keep Jesus kind of on the periphery, arm's length. I know I have some obligations. I'll get to church, you know, Sunday. I'll get the kids to First Communion. But in terms of deep personal engagement, like, Lord, it's you I want at the center of my life. Mm-hmm. That's a decision that scares guys a lot.
It does.
Because as you were saying, at a certain point, I didn't want to let go of all that I had control over.
Right.
And I couldn't predict where this was all going to lead. So sure. I don't want that.
And I still don't. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, when I examine my heart, yeah. I know that I still need to be discipled. I still need to grow in conversion. I still know that there are opportunities out there to sin that weren't opportunities before.
Yeah.
You know, I love Ralph's comment.
Ralph Martin.
He says, when I was 20, whatever years old, I decided to give everything to the Lord, but it was easy because I didn't have much.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder as you get more.
Yeah.
But honestly, what was going on is what Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I saw people imitating Christ and I wanted to imitate them. And they were imitating people who were imitating Christ. I could see it in them.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted in me. Yeah. Most of what I was doing was just imitation. Frankly, people who hear me speak right now, because I listen to you so often and I go out there and speak, I think it was Kathleen, your secretary, your administrator, who heard me in St. Lucia, and she said, you sound like a little Peter. And I just think, you know, why wouldn't I? Because I'm listening to Peter, I'm listening to Ralph, I'm listening to others that I know are imitating the Lord, and that's all I'm trying to do. And you often say to me, we're all just standing on someone else's shoulders anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So becoming a disciple for me was very, very important. Lots of people have taught me to be a disciple. My wife has taught me to be a disciple. My men's group has taught me to be a disciple.
And the idea of being a disciple is the word disciple simply means learner. And Paul says, right. You know, I want to learn Christ. And key people in our lives, if we're hungry for it, we'll see those people and God will put them in our lives to be able to help us. Now, you talked about the importance of being really beginning to live concretely mm-hmm. in community. That is, spending time with other brothers and sisters where not only you had time to pray, but you also shared your life
mm-hmm.
and opened your life to other people and to be able to be honest. Like, how did that all unfold for you?
In order to be an example to people and to be discipled, you need to open up your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think opening up your life is really key. We don't like to tell people what's going on in our life, especially the deep stuff, the inner deepies, as one of my friends says.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to be open about, like, what's going on in my relationship with my wife? What am I doing with my money? How am I spending my extra time? Those mm-hmm. three
yeah.
will regularly be part of
yeah.
coming under God's lordship in your life.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I was going to say, that really the process, isn't it? It's like sort of step by step, the Lord leads us to bring everything under the lordship of Jesus. That is, bring everything under his authority. He wants to help us order our life for our own benefit,
mm-hmm.
but order our life to help fulfill the calling that he has on us and to live consistently with him. So all these things we have, he will do, but we can't generally do that alone.
Exactly. You need accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've been in a men's group since I got to Ann Arbor. I've always been in one. What does that mean? That means just getting together with a group of guys, sharing about the important things that are going on in our life and praying together. It's changed. Guys have come and gone. Of course, people move. And it's not like anybody is there teaching you or yeah. showing you
or judging
or correcting you.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's not what's going on. I mean, frankly, I can just share about what's going on in my life and look around at the eyes in the room and see something I'm saying here is not, there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. I can see it in the guy's eyes. The questions that they ask, the encouragement that they give, the fact that they're just available to me to pray with, that they'll call me up when they know stuff is going on in my life and say, hey, let's get together and go get a beer. Those types of things that are going on just connects you to people and opens your life to them and theirs to you.
Yeah, and it's like, because it's rooted in a common experience, and that common experience is what?
Christ.
We've all encountered Christ. We love him. We want to follow him. And we know we're living in a battlefield. You know, the whole world's in the power of the devil, Scripture says. And so every day we know the flesh in us that's weak. We know the power of the world that wants us to resist God. We know our enemy, his strategy is set against us. And so a threefold cord's not easily broken. We want to stand together and to be able to say, let's be committed to helping each other follow Christ faithfully.
Amen.
With all our heart. It's that simple. And we can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I want to be the best husband, the best dad, the best business owner. That's what I want to do. But there's a lot in me that doesn't want to do that. And I want to be able to have, I need brothers to help me be faithful to what's in the deepest part of my heart, what I want to become. And guys who realize that they can, I'm not afraid to tell them I am afraid, but I end up telling them how I failed in different ways. And they lift me up and encourage me. So can we pick this up, this theme
Absolutely.
Tomorrow, John? Okay, great. Thanks so much for being here again today. Friends, God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.